is also a feature-packed website.
You're listening to Back in the USSR.
Да здравствует 60-я годовщина Великой Октябрьской социалистической революции. Да здравствует героический советский народ и его доблестные вооруженные силы. Слава Коммунистической партии Советского Союза, руководящей и направляющей силе советского общества. Ура!
Peter Houston. I'm at my homestead, Winstatan, up on 66 kilometers, and there's been reports that the Gidim Dan checkpoint has been breached, and the police have made it through that point, and we're here in my healing center, and we have some clients here, and we didn't agree with the injunction because they didn't hear our side, and we have too much to lose behind on this territory. We don't want them to try and say that we can be in a reservation and just stay in my buildings here, but they can destroy the rest of my territory. So I'm here now because this is my home. This is where I live. I was out for a whole month with Smogathgan's mom being sick in palliative care, and she has passed. And I end up getting really sick out there. And when I came back here, I'm better. And this is an unjust system that we live in. My people have been pushed aside for hundreds of years, and it hasn't stopped. It's still happening right now. My people live off these lands, and the gate is for our protection. We had racists coming in and shooting rifles, ramming my gate with vehicles and using explosives to blow up my gate. And the police in Houston know, and they did nothing about it. They said not enough evidence. And now the state, I blame Justin Trudeau, John Horgan, you guys are listening to this. You guys are behind these projects. You guys are behind approving these police to come in and treat me like a criminal. And all I am doing is living on my lands that my clan has title and rights to. And you say reconciliation? This is not reconciliation. You're treating my chiefs and us as criminals, and we're not criminals. This is our land. 22,000 square kilometers, we got maybe 10% left. The rest has been taken over by the municipality of Smithers, the municipality of Telqua, Burns Lake, and Houston is Wet'suwet'en lands, and those are all taken, and agriculturists have taken from Burns Lake all the way to Morristown. So we have no land left to live traditionally. The last 10% this company wants to take for their pipelines. That is why our chiefs are saying no to these projects. And we've had enough of being bulldozed over. I protected children from bullies my whole life, and I'm standing up to these bullies now. I've never feared anything in my life because I've been taught everything culturally, and it was my responsibility to protect these lands. And I have a little niece who just calls this her home. I had to send her home because the police are here. She didn't want to go home. She was sad she had to leave, but we said bad people are coming and they might hurt you. I'm sorry, you got to go back to grandma, great grandma's house. So we've always been peaceful. Coastal GasLink has been the most ruthless out of all the corporations coming in. Whenever we had a death, my dad passed, they sent in choppers. My brother passed, they flew in drill equipment. And now when Smogath Gim's mom was ill, now they decided to do this because they know we were busy. They knew we were grieving. That's how ruthless Coastal GasLink operates. And for all you investors, you do not have consent. And for the government, you're doing war against your own people. You're sending military forces and police, special forces, it's not regular police, it's special forces against peaceful people. And this is the only territory we have left. We drink the water. That's the only territory in all of Wet'suwet'en territory where you can still drink the water. And this water, they want to put their project 1 kilometers upstream from us. Will we still be able to drink that water? And all the projects is going to go where our berries are, our medicines. My pit house that I'm supposed to move into is exactly in the way of the project. And my permaculture garden that feeds us. My family, my clan, everybody is behind us. It's not me, and they name me the injunction. This is not, just because I'm the spokesperson, I speak for my clan. I don't speak for myself. And yet they name me in the injunction because I live here. But I know the police are on their way now. They could be here within the next 10, 20 minutes to more than likely try to forcefully remove me from my home. And the rest of the world needs to make noise. This is wrong. So wrong. People have to speak up. You can't just sit back and say you can't do nothing. People have power. You have a voice. Use it. You can't let this corrupt government. Our government is corrupt now. You bulldoze everybody for you to make profits. And meanwhile, those profits are destroying our water, our air. Even you won't survive. What are you going to drink? What are you going to eat when there was no more fresh water? fracking destroys all the fresh water that it already has. We have maybe 1% fresh water in all of this world, and most of the industrialized communities have no more clean water. So we don't want to be that community where we have no more clean water, no more salmon, no more moose. I don't eat anything but my wild meat off the land. And that's what I am protecting. My lifestyle, it's our critical infrastructure as for the Wet'suwet'en is at stake here. And I'm just praying that nothing happened to my chiefs down at 44. Because we don't know what's happening there. Their communications have been shut down. And if you don't hear from us here, you can guarantee they have a device which is going to shut down our communications here, so we won't be able to communicate out. So if you don't hear from us, you know the bullies have arrived.
Thank you.
I pity the country. I pity the state and the mind of a man thrives on hate. Small are the lives of cheats and of liars, of bigoted news press, fascist town crier. Deception annoys me, deception destroys me. The Bill of Rights froze me, in jails they all know me. Frustrated are churchmen, the saving of soul men, the tinker, the tailor, the colonial governor. They pull and they palm me, they're seeking to draw me away from the roundness of the light. Civil servants, they thrive off my body. Their trip is with power, back bacon and welfare. Police, they arrest me. Materialists test me. Pollution, it chokes me. Movies, they joke me. Politicians exploit me. City life that jades me. Hudson Bay fleece me. Hunting laws freak me. Government is bumbling. Revolution's rumbling. To be ruled in impunity is tradition continuity. I pity the country. I pity the state. And the mind of a man who thrives on hate.
You're listening to Back in the USSR on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. I am Siegfried, and this is Stolen Native Land. I'd like to take this time tonight to express my solidarity with the Indigenous land defenders of sovereign Wet'suwet'en traditional territory in the region known by the colonial name of British Columbia, as they face down an act of war, an armed invasion, perpetrated against their nation by the government of Canada. In the intro there, you heard Frieda Hewson, spokesperson of the Unist'ot'en encampment in Wet'suwet'en land. That was from This time last year, January 7th of 2019, when the RCMP raided them for the first time, and now it looks like that might happen again. And the song you heard was Willie Dunn. The Mi'kmaq singer Willie Dunn, I Pity the Country, which I think a very fitting song for what's going on right now in BC. Last week I discussed the act of war perpetrated by the American Empire against the sovereign nation of Iran. This week I'll be discussing an act of war much closer to home, but no less egregious in that it is an imperialist action that targets a sovereign people and their way of life and targets for destruction. While the Iranian military was able to strike back against American bases in Iraq last week with missiles, and for the time being at least, deter the United States from further aggression, the Canadian colonial state looks set to mount a full-scale invasion of sovereign indigenous land in northern BC. The Wet'suwet'en land defenders are currently facing an imminent assault by the RCMP that would clear the way for a liquefied natural gas pipeline to be built across their land without their consent. Just as the United States and its brazen refusal to withdraw its troops from the sovereign country of Iraq after the entire Iraqi parliament voted unanimously to expel them constitutes a flagrant violation of the principle of self-determination, so does the RCMP's threatened invasion of unceded indigenous land. The people of the Wet'suwet'en Indigenous Nation never signed treaties with the British Empire or with the Canadian government after 1867. They never signed away any of their territory or rights. They effectively remain a sovereign nation, and in 1997, the Supreme Court of Canada recognized this fact, ruling that Aboriginal land ownership had never been given up across the Wet'suwet'en's 22,000 kilometers square of territory. But that landmark court decision in favor of their traditional rights on their land didn't stop the fossil fuel industry from trampling on everything that the Wet'suwet'en held dear and hold dear in the name of profit. In December 2018, the Wet'suwet'en people set up the Gidimten checkpoint to block construction of the proposed 670-kilometer coastal gas link pipeline across their territory, thereby exercising their right as a sovereign people to deny access to something that would damage their land and way of life. On January 7, 2019, the RCMP committed its first large-scale act of aggression against the Wet'suwet'en when heavily armed officers raided the Gidimten checkpoint and arrested 14 Indigenous land defenders. The police established a media exclusion zone, blocking reporters from accessing the area and covering this hostile action. On December 20th, 2019, leaked internal RCMP documents published by The Guardian revealed that police were prepared to use lethal force against Indigenous land defenders in the Gidimten raid earlier that year. Quote, the RCMP commanders also instructed officers to use, quote, as much violence towards the gate as you want. The RCMP were prepared to arrest children and grandparents, quote, no exception, everyone will be arrested in the injunction area. On January 4th, 2020, moving into this year, House chiefs representing all five of the Wet'suwet'en clans exercised their sovereign rights in evicting Coastal GasLink employees from Unist'ot'en and Gidimten territories. An eviction letter stated that workers were not to return to the territory without the consent of the Wet'suwet'en hereditary chiefs. On January 7th, just last week, Coastal GasLink posted an injunction order, just as they had done 1 year ago before the RCMP raid. They posted an injunction order giving the land defenders 72 hours to clear the way to its worksite and allow access, or they would call in the police. The RCMP began mobilizing in the area to enforce the injunction, and the land defenders put out a call for solidarity actions and demonstrations across Canada. On January 9th, the United Nations called for the immediate withdrawal of the RCMP from Wet'suwet'en territory and for a complete suspension of work on the Coastal GasLink pipeline until free, prior, and informed consent is obtained from the Wet'suwet'en people. The RCMP has declared a no-fly zone over Wet'suwet'en territory, set up an exclusion zone at 27 kilometers, and are blocking media, Wet'suwet'en people, and food from getting into the territory. This is where things stand now. It's basically a state of siege. There were rallies in solidarity with Wet'suwet'en all across Canada last week. You know, the call of the land defenders for solidarity actions was heeded by thousands of people. With Indigenous peoples and their allies organizing to stop this illegal colonial invasion of sovereign native land. You know, in cities all across the country. I myself participated in one of these rallies in downtown Guelph just yesterday on January 12th. I wish more people had shown up, but we still managed to, well, shut shit down and make our voices heard. But there's so much more that needs to be done, and time is running out. And to put things in greater perspective, this is an interview that the Real News Network conducted with Indigenous activist Canahus Manuel on January 10th, emphasizing the truth that this flagrant aggression by the RCMP against Wet'suwet'en is part of Canada's long colonial legacy. Please stay tuned to Back in the USSR.
This is Dimitri Lascaris reporting for the Real News Network from Montreal, Canada. Last month, the British newspaper, The Guardian, broke the story that Canada's Royal Canadian Mounted Police, or RCMP, were prepared to shoot Indigenous land defenders blockading construction of a natural gas pipeline in northern British Columbia. In late 2018, a roadblock was erected by Indigenous Wet'suwet'en people to control access to their territories and stop construction of the proposed 670-kilometer or 416-mile coastal gas link pipeline. On January 7, 2019, RCMP officers dressed in military green fatigues and armed with assault rifles descended on the checkpoint, dismantling the gate and arresting 14 people. According to documents seen by The Guardian, RCMP commanders instructed officers to, quote, use as much violence as you want, close quote, as part of an operation to remove a roadblock. The documents also revealed that the RCMP were prepared to arrest children and grandparents. Quote, no exception, everyone will be arrested in the injunction area, one document read. Another document made reference to possible child apprehension by social services. Now here to discuss these revelations with us is Canahus Manuel. Canahus is an Indigenous activist, birth keeper, and a member of the activist group Tiny House Warriors. She joins us today from Blue River, British Columbia. Thank you for coming on The Real News, Canahus.
Right.
First of all, could you tell us what's your understanding, Canahus, as to the current status of the blockade of, and more broadly of the efforts to stop the construction of the Coastal GasLink pipeline on Wet'suwet'en territory?
Oh, well, first of all, I'm from the Sipamuk Nation. I don't speak for the Wet'suwet'en. It's a different nation. We're distinct nations here in so-called British Columbia. Anything west of the Rockies has been untreated, it's unceded, unsurrendered. We have not signed a treaty with the federal government, not with Great Britain or the province of BC. So we still lay claim on 100% of our territory. Wet'suwet'en territory is one of the nations here in BC. They also are unceded, and their governance structure is made up of various clans. The Wet'suwet'en clan, or the Unist'ot'en clan, has been there on the territory for over 5 years, 6 years, stopping 7 proposed pipelines. And the Gidimden checkpoint, the Gidimden is also a clan within the Wet'suwet'en Nation that has also set up a checkpoint. First of all, I would like to say that when I arrived there at their checkpoints, there's the free, prior, informed consent protocol, This is a traditional protocol that has been in place even before the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. Free, prior, informed consent. What are you doing here? What's your intentions of coming here? If we allow you access into our territory, how is your stay here going to benefit us and their nation? And everybody has to answer that. I had to answer that when I went in with me and my husband and four children. And Coastal GasLink had to answer that. And they have the right to deny consent and access to any individual or corporation or government that threatens their territory. And so Coastal GasLink is one of these corporations that threatens their way of life. And so therefore they have denied access. But because the government of Canada has continued to use injunctions as a way to force Indigenous people off of their lands, injunctions, we call that, you know, a thousand trails of tears. It's forcing our people off of the land. My father, Arthur Manuel, he wrote in his book, Reconciliation Manifesto, he referred to injunctions as Canada's legal billy club. And it's a way that they can continue to oppress us off of our territory in order for corporations to get access to our lands. The recent court decision that gave the Coastal GasLink this interlocutory injunction, but also gave the RCMP an enforcement order. And that means that they, RCMP now, are armed with this legal billy club to go out onto the territory and forcibly remove the Wet'suwet'en off of their lands. You know, how they're going to react to that, you know, we're going to have to see how everything unfolds, because they come from a very strong traditional governance structure where their clans are still in place, unlike some of the other nations here in BC. One of the things that you can look at is the Delgamuukw decision of 1997, which really was spearheaded by the Wet'suwet'en and the hereditary system. And in that Delgamuukw decision, it, you know, verifies what we've already always said, is that Aboriginal title and rights exist in this country. Aboriginal title and rights exist, especially where we have not signed treaties. We've not made any type of formal land agreements with the federal government. And so we lay claim to 100% and that we have the territorial authority and decision-making. We have the right to our own decision-making process, our own governance structure. And those are the rights that we have, international respected rights as Indigenous people. And as human beings, we have the right to self-determination.
If I might just stop you there, Candace, I want to dwell into that a little more. You know, the company Coastal GasLink cites as justification for its construction initiative, it claims to have 20... it had assigned agreements with 20 elected First Nations councils along the pipeline route. How do you respond to that argument that, you know, they've been authorized by these elected councils, or what they describe as elected councils, to do this?
Well, first, what must be understood by the world and the global community is that these elected chief and council systems are actually paid by the federal government. They get a federal paycheck, just like any other politician. They are enforced under the Indian Act. The Indian Act was established, and it's a very oppressive and genocidal policy and act and law that they put in place in order to remove Indigenous people off their land and force them onto Indian reservations, modern-day Indian reservations that we call concentration camps. These chief and council system is a colonial system, a colonial construct. It's nothing that is traditional in our form of traditional governance structure. And so when you hear that term, chief and council system in Canada, you know that they're being paid by the federal government. And what my grandfather Wolverine would say is that pretty well they're civil servants talking to civil servants, saying that the chief and council system are also civil servants of that system. And so we need to make that very clear, that they are not speaking for the collective. It's enforced by the federal government. It was, you know, unilaterally imposed upon us. And the majority of Indigenous people in this country of Canada refuse and opt out of being involved in that elective chief and council system. We know that our title and rights as Indigenous people are held collectively. Here in our nation, we have around 10,000 Sokwotmuk. So that's a collective right that we hold amongst every single 10,000 of those men, women, and children. They are the proper title holders. Therefore, they are the proper decision makers, not the chief and council systems.
Now, you yourself, I understand, have had quite a few interactions with law enforcement authorities in the course of your land defense activities. How do you respond to the Guardian revelations? And please, respond to those revelations in the context of what you yourself has experienced as a land defender at the hands of the RCMP and other police forces.
Well, I think it's by time that mainstream media really publishes the truth about what is happening. We've been saying this, you know, since Contact, the abuse and the terrorism that we face at the hands of the Canadian government and the police state. The RCMP was established with one purpose, and that was to remove Indigenous peoples off the land in order for them to make way and get access to our resources and our territories. Canada gets very wealthy and continues to get very wealthy off of stripping our natural resources off of our lands. Those are Indigenous resources. They have never got consent to remove those resources from our land. These pipelines are transportation conduit. They're transporting these raw resources from northern BC and northern Alberta, the frack fields and the Alberta tar sands, to get it to the tidewater, to get it to these ports that they want to establish, to get them to Vancouver port, all the way down to the California coast. It affects all of us. The transportation of this is risking hundreds and hundreds of miles of pristine wilderness. This is not a developed area like California or the East Coast in New York State. This is pristine area. There's areas on every single creek you could go down and river and you can drink directly from it. This is pristine glacier waters that are feeding all of the creeks and rivers all the way to the ocean. So British Columbia, just to give people an idea, is the size of Washington, Oregon, and California combined. And it's literally virtually untouched. Two-thirds of the population of BC are in the lower mainland around Vancouver area. So we come from a very isolated area. The Gidimden checkpoint is actually around 44 kilometers off of the closest major highway. And it's not even a major highway. It's like a two-lane road. And the Unist'ot'en is around 65 or so kilometers off of the road. So these are back roads. These are dirt roads. These are very isolated areas. When the RCMP raided, they had a major operation just to get out to the areas to make the arrest.
And yourself, in terms of your own experience with law enforcement officials who are there to ensure access to Indigenous lands, what have you yourself experienced in that regard?
Well, I've been named on several injunctions of the Sun Peaks ski resort and also the Red Chris Imperial Metals mine. And I fall within millimeters of an injunction right here in Blue River, where they want to establish a 1,000-man camp for the Trans Mountain pipeline. We're standing our ground. We're actually taking land back. We're occupying land. We're living in tiny houses on our territory in order to stop the construction of this pipeline. And we are targeted. You know, I am a person of interest, but the RCMP have named me a person of interest. The Trans Mountain have, hundreds and hundreds of pages of surveillance on me. That's just 4 days of surveillance. So I know I'm a target. And I was a target on October 19th when the RCMP, a new division, the Community Industry Response Group, the same division that's deployed on the Wet'suwet'en peoples, came and arrested me and broke my wrist. So I've been dealing these last months and recuperating and healing from the bodily injuries by the RCMP. They're forcing me to go in on January 6th, on Monday in a couple of days, to give my fingerprints again. I don't know if they're going to be waiting there with more bogus charges. I don't know if they're going to try to detain me again. So this is the type of terrorism that they create on us as Indigenous people. You think that you could go out and have a vacation in beautiful British Columbia and go stay in a cabin in Blue River and enjoy the heli-skiing by an Austrian, tour operator. It's not the same with us. We come on our territory and we're our target. We need constant security as Indigenous land defenders just to maintain our safety here on the front lines.
Well, we've been speaking to Kanahus Manuel, an Indigenous land defender, about revelations in the British newspaper, The Guardian, that Canadian law enforcement officials were prepared to shoot Indigenous land defenders to open up a road for the use of a gas pipeline company. Thank you very much for joining us today, Kanahus.
Thank you.
And this is Dimitri Lascaris reporting for the Real News Network.
Comes the spring, and its warm thaw around your neck, the eagle claw upon your head, the buffalo horn. Today a great new chief is born, so raise him fast towards the sun. Heart now beats, a life's begun. It's 1821. Today a Blackfoot soul is born. Crowfoot, Crowfoot, why the tears? You've been a brave man for many years. Why the sadness? Why the sorrow? Maybe there'll be a better tomorrow. Your years have gone, the years have passed. Your heart is set, your soul is cast. Stand before the council fire. You have the mind and the desire of notions wise. You speak so well, and in brave deeds you do excel. And it's 1853, and you stand the chief of Confederacy. You are the leader, you are the chief. You stand against both liar and thief. They trade, raise whiskey, steal your land, and they're coming in swift like the wind-blown sand. They shoot the buffalo, kill the game, and send their preachers into shame. And it's 1864, and you think of peace, and you think of war. Crowfoot, Crowfoot, why the tears? You've been a brave man for many years. Why the sadness? Why the sorrow? Maybe there'll be a better tomorrow. See the settler in more numbers. He takes whatever he encounters. You see Lasso, all battered, beaten, wrong and right, they haven't eaten. And as per se, we're much the same. It seems like such a heartless game. And it's 1876, and the enemy's full of those death-dealing tricks. Today the treaty stands on the table. Will you sign it? Are you able? It offers food and protection too. Do you really think they'll hold it true? It offers a reserve. Now, isn't that grand? And in return you see all of your land. And it's 1800.
77, and you know the scales are so uneven. Crowfoot, Crowfoot, why the tears? You've been a brave man for many years. Why the sadness? Why the sorrow? Maybe there'll be a better tomorrow. Buffalo are slaughtered, there's nothing to eat. The government's late again with the meat, and your people are riddled with the white man's disease. And in the summer they're sick, and in the winter they freeze. And sometimes you wonder why you signed that day, but they broke the treaties themselves anyway. And it's 1889, and your Death Star explodes, and then it falls. Crowfoot, Crowfoot, why the tears? You've been a brave man for many years. Why the sadness? Why the sorrow? Maybe there'll be a better tomorrow. The years have gone, the years have flown. The nation's sins have swiftly grown, but yet for the Indian, it's all the same. There's still hardship, there's still a pain, there's still a hardship, there's still a strife. Its bitterness shines like a whetted knife. There's still hypocrisy, and the hate. Was that in the treaties? Is that the fate? We're all unhappy pawns in the government's game, and it's always the Indian gets the blame. It's a problem which money can never lessen, and it's 1967. Crowfoot, Crowfoot, why the tears? You've been a brave man for many years. Why the sadness? Why the sorrow? Be a better tomorrow. Maybe one day you'll find honesty instead of the usual treachery. Perhaps one day the truth shall prevail, and the warmth of love which it doesn't take. Crowfoot, Crowfoot, why the tears? You've been a brave man for many years. Why the sadness? Why the sorrow? Maybe there'll be a better tomorrow. Thank you.
You're listening to Back in the USSR here on 93.3 FM CFRU. That was Willie Dunn with The Ballad of Crowfoot. And before that, of course, we had the Real News Network's interview with Canahus Manuel about how the RCMP were willing to shoot Indigenous land defenders, the Wet'suwet'en, sovereign Wet'suwet'en territory, in January 2019. And it's very, very likely they're getting similar orders right now. And that's really what we're up against here, brothers and sisters. You know, as you know, settler colonialism in Canada is something that I've discussed and made a deliberate point of discussing with my students in China whenever I've taught ESL there. I've talked about Louis Riel and the Northwest Rebellion. I've talked about the Oka Crisis. And I've talked about Wet'suwet'en. And let me tell you, it's not hard for young students in an ancient country that suffered under colonialism for 100 years, from the Opium Wars of the 1840s until the final victory of the Chinese Communists in 1949. And to understand what the Indigenous and, you know, they understand. It's not hard for those young students, Chinese students, to understand what the Indigenous peoples of this land are going through. Some Canadian ESL teachers go abroad full of kitschy stories about maple syrup and hockey and might as well be propagandists for the Canadian government. But I'm not like that. I talk about the real history and the current reality in this country. I show my students things that are not pretty about this country. And I talk to them about two extremely important English words that not enough Canadians know or understand: self-determination and internationalism. Self-determination and internationalism. Self-determination concerns the right of every people and nation to determine their own destinies free from colonialism, empire, or capitalist globalization. Internationalism is the solidarity of different peoples across borders to support one another in the fight for liberation against colonialism, capitalism, and empire. And I want to emphasize to the settlers who stand in solidarity with Wet'suwet'en that what we are engaged in is internationalist solidarity. Because the Wet'suwet'en are themselves a sovereign nation that refuses to submit to the colonial dictates of the government of Canada and the multinational corporations whose interests that the government of Canada is protecting when it sends out the RCMP to beat up, arrest, or shoot Indigenous land defenders. The Wet'suwet'en might not have an army or a state, but ultimately they are as sovereign as the Iraqis or the Iranians, and their self-determination must be respected and defended. Self-determination and internationalism. Self-determination and internationalism. Two very, very important words that are very, very important to understand. And what's going on in Wet'suwet'en territory in northern BC? This is an invasion that we are fighting to stop. When we go out into the streets to protest and demonstrate in support of Indigenous land defenders struggling to end the ongoing colonial genocide against their people and nations. The Canadian government might speak of reconciliation, but there can be no reconciliation without self-determination and a complete and total end to colonial rule across Turtle Island, so-called North America, and the land of the Condor, so-called South America, where Indigenous peoples from Bolivia to Brazil to Colombia to Guatemala are fighting for their lives and sovereignty in the face of outright fascism in many cases. And I'm not even going to talk about how climate change ties into this. I think most people listening to this show already grasp that kind of stuff. But pardon me if I doubt that so many of you truly understand concepts like self-determination and internationalism. Like me, you grew up in a racist settler colonial society built on genocide, and like me, you took so many things for granted. And it's a long and hard road to unlearn all the bullshit you've been fed, let me tell you. Please stay tuned to Back in the USSR.
Yeah. This is a song born in the struggle of the brave Chinese people. It begins, Chi Lai, arise, you who refuse to be bond slaves, and ends, Chen Jing, march on. Chi Lai, who you once saw no the run man, but woman the share out to Chong woman sing the Chang Chong. 中华民族到了最危险的时候，每个人被迫着发出最好的号声。起来，起来，起来！我们万众一心，冒着敌人的炮火前进，冒着敌人的炮火前进。 Engine, arise, you who refuse to be bond slaves. Let's stand up and fight for liberty and true democracy. All our world is facing the chains of the tyrant. Everyone who works for freedom is now crying, arise, arise, arise. All of us with one heart, with the torch of freedom, march on, with the torch of freedom, march on, march on, march on and on. Chi Lai, who you once saw nulu di run man, ba wo men di xie ro, su chong wo men xing di chang chang. Zhong hua ming zu dao liao, sui wei xie di shi hao. 每个人被迫着发出最好的号声，起来，起来，起来！我们万众一心，冒着敌人的炮火前进，冒着敌人的炮火前进，前进，前进，前进。
Listening to Back in the USSR here on 93.3 FM CFRU, we heard Midnight Oil with Trugunini about the struggles of indigenous people in Australia, and that was Paul Robeson's version of the March of the Volunteers, the national anthem of the People's Republic of China, which, by the way, was written by a man who, March of the Volunteers was written by a man who died at age 25, fighting for the liberation of his country against Japanese colonization in the 1930s. And the reason why I played that is, of course, in solidarity, once again, with the indigenous people, the indigenous land defenders of Wet'suwet'en. Solidarity, absolute solidarity with them. And victory to them as they stand up against the forces of the colonial state. I will see you all here next week, brothers and sisters. Stay tuned to Back.